Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smarts, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. So today, I titled today's message, actually, Ladder Glory. How many want the glory of God in their life? How many want the glory of God to consume this church? How many want the glory of God to consume our neighborhoods and our communities? How many want the glory of God to consume our government and this great nation, hey? How many want the glory of God to consume the world, right? Yes, yes, I do too. But it's going to take some doing on our part as well. And so I want to encourage you today. I'm going to be very candid, as always, open and honest with you. I'm going to talk about three things that we all struggle with. Pastoral, worship leaders, Sunday school teachers, and everybody in this sanctuary and everybody watching online, we all struggle with these three things at some point in our walk with Jesus. But I want to bring them forward, put them on the table to help you realize and recognize when it happens, how to fix it. Isn't that great? Let's just not talk about the problem. Let's figure out how to fix the problem. You know, in real life, we do that a lot, don't we? We talk about the problem. We talk about the solution or the possible solutions to the problem. But then we never do the solutions or begin to work on the problem, right? And all of a sudden, 2, 3, 4, 5 years go on, and we're still talking about the problem that happened yesterday. Well, I want to talk to you today about the problems that may hinder an outpouring of the glory of God that we find in the book of Haggai. That God uses him as a mouthpiece to confront, to bring aware of what's happening, because we want that manifested presence of God, the glory cloud of God, to dwell in us, in the church, and in those other reasons, in those other regions and things that I spoke about a few moments ago. And the glory, we can help usher in. We can play a part of what God wants to do to see that happen. I know for me, I'm all in. I'm just all in. And I hope today you'll be all in. And so God uses a man named Haggai. Let me first read you a scripture. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It declares this in the Word. This is coming from the Old Testament. It's coming from the book of Haggai. And this is what it says. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land." Someone shout amen. We need a shaking, God. We need a shaking. We need a shaking in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth. We need a shaking. Verse 7, "And I will shake all the nations." Come on, someone shout amen. All the nations need Jesus. "And they will come with wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory." Someone yell amen. We need the wealth of the nations to fund the kingdom of God. Someone come on, shout. Right? We need the wealth of the nations. Right? "The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And here it is. The glory of this latter house will be greater than the former house." Someone shout amen. Yes, Lord. Go ahead and grab a seat this morning. See, we get caught up with the glory of the former house, and we want the former glory. But God's saying that the glory that I want to bring you is greater than what you saw, you heard about, you were a part of. I got something greater and bigger and better. So let's grab a hold of that. Instead of yesterday's manna, let's take today's outpouring. Let's take it. So the Lord speaks this in Haggai. Haggai was a prophet, and he shared the words of God. Haggai has two chapters, 38 verses long only. It's not a big book. In that book, you'll see two promises, you'll see two corrections and three encouraging words that Haggai would speak to the people. I think they're important that you read. That's your homework. I want to give some homework tonight. Your homework today, before you watch the England-Italy game, for all you soccer fans, before you watch that game, or after you watch the Italy-England game, or in halftime of the Italy-England game, you go ahead and read those 38 verses. Not while I'm preaching, though. Just want to throw that out there. Not while I'm preaching, though. So they're not. It's not a long book, but it's powerful and it's challenging. It's very challenging. But if we're open and ready for a challenge, it's life-changing if we embrace it. And so Haggai was a prophet that came with the exiles back to Jerusalem. And his ministry was to encourage and to teach and to stand alongside the exiles as they rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. And so he was to let them know that God was with them. God was with them. And that was part of his responsibility. He was to stir it up when things got sideways. He was to share what the Lord was saying, to correct the wrong, but to help and encourage the good things that were happening. And so as they returned and they began to build the temple and do what was asked of them, it began out really good. They had gotten the altar built, and they had the sacrificial system going again. But then it turned sideways as they began to lay the foundation. All the work ceased and stopped. Now there's the issue. The focus no longer was all about what God wanted and fulfilling what God had called them to do. It turned to themselves. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there before, where we're doing a work for God or we're pressing through, and then all of a sudden something just happens, and all of a sudden it's no longer the focus. Anyone ever been there with me before? I've been there before. And so this is why Haggai had to come and begin to encourage. We need to understand that we must stay focused. We must stay connected. We must stay in the vein or the flow of what God is doing. And so he encourages them. But what I want to share with you in these few moments that we have today is I want to share with you how we can continue or begin to usher in a greater move of the glory of God. Are you with me this morning? Do you want that? So I'm going to talk about three things that we all deal with. Three. The first thing that Haggai had to deal with in this 38 verse book in the Old Testament was that there all of a sudden became a disinterest in the things of God. They were no longer fully interested and invested in what God had wanted them to do. See, for us to usher that in, we must continue to be interested and stay interested and connected in the things of God and in God himself. You with me still? Now, y'all, all the shouting stopped. Wow, that was quick. That was like 6 minutes into my message. We hooped it up, and then all of a sudden I'm like, in order to happen, we have to stay connected and interested. And I was like, whoa, pastor, now. Whoa. Now I started to draw some lines in the sand. No, this is so important. In other words, we cannot lose interest in God's plans. We cannot lose interest in God's kingdom purposes. We cannot lose interest in God's mission or vision for us individually, but also for us corporately as the church. We cannot lose interest in the call that God has placed on your life. We cannot lose interest on the will of God that he put before us to be involved in. When we lose interest in that, we become disconnected. When we lose interest in something, we become disconnected. when God is no longer the forefront of our thoughts, when God is no longer, you know, the thing that we think about and dream about and read about on a daily basis and pray to on a daily basis and worship on a daily basis, all of a sudden he begins to play second fiddle, third fiddle, fourth fiddle, when all of a sudden then he's no longer even a consideration in our daily walk. And Haggai had was used to tell these people, listen, do not lose interest in what God wants to do, because what God wants to do here is usher in this great move and fill this temple with the glory of God, and the land would be filled with the glory. So I need you to stay interested, is what he was telling them. And we know that because what happened was is they started out with an excitement. Y'all been there before? You start out with an excitement. You're like, yeah, yeah, boy, I'm all about it. And about 2 days later, you're like, honey, what was I thinking? Right, right? They started out strong. They started out moving forward. And then all of a sudden, things changed. Then opposition shows up. And then disinterest settles in. And then everything comes to a screeching halt. In the first chapter, verse 2 and 4, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? What God was doing was God was calling them out. He's like, while you've turned to self. See, their mindset became me, myself, and I, and God's over there. And God's like, no, it has to change. I want your focus to be redialed back to what I'm asking and needing you to do and requiring things to get done. And so what happened was the shift of the focus went from God to themselves, to who they were, to what was their wants and their desires became greater than God's wants and God's desires. Does that sound familiar? So what can we do? Or what can cause us as people today where apathy would set in? What causes that? I thought about myself. I don't want to point any fingers. I thought about me. What caused apathy and disinterest to settle in throughout my walk as a believer in the early days? See, because every day I have to be reminded of being connected and not being dissatisfied and not being discouraged. And these are the three things we're going to talk about. The first one is not losing interest. Well, what was it? Well, some of the things that causes many people to be disconnected or disinterested in God is that we're not receiving or seeing the results the way we anticipate or want them to be. Or, y'all with me? Or the grind is just way too hard. The work is just too much. I didn't sign up for all of this, God. Or the honeymoon's over. Y'all know what I mean by that, right? Like you get married, like you're in the honeymoon phase, right? And then all of a sudden everything's, you know, and then all of a sudden, wow, it's different. We're excited about what God's doing, and then all of a sudden we realize the involvement and what's needed. Or how about this? There's just a better option given to me that I feel. Well, what do you mean? Well, God's asking of things and wanting of things, but better options come along. And so I put God on the back burner and I engage in the better option. Or just people. See, these are things that really can cause apathy, a lack of interest, enthusiasm, a lack of concern for the things of God that will settle into us and cause the separation. But don't get discouraged. Don't feel beat up. Don't get upset with yourself. It happens to the best of us. It really does. But what's great is when we see it happening, we can make the adjustments needed. We can stop it before it gets too far down the road. We can say, oh, you know what? Oh, my gosh, I'm being pulled aside here. Lord, help me. Give me the strength. Give me what is needed to get back to where you want me to be. And so disinterest settles in, and it can settle in. But what I love about Haggai, he uses some verbiage that will help us that I think is so important for you and I today. He says to them in verses 5 and 6, he says, consider your ways. This is how we can figure out if we're still interested or not. To consider our ways. Set your heart on your ways. Know what your heart is. Know where you're at. Consider your ways. You see, because then it goes and says, you've sown much and you harvested little. You eat, but you have not enough to. You drink and you are not full with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns puts them in a bag with holes. What he's saying is that we need to realize that focusing on ourselves can really lead to being fruitless if God's not in it. If God's not in control of it. If God's not leading us. We must consider our ways when it comes to the things of God. Consider our ways. Consider our ways. Well, Pastor, how do I stay interested? How do I stay connected? What do I have to do? Well, let me give you three simple but very difficult things. One, it's a choice. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua tells the people, he says, listen, choose you this day. Everyone say choose. Choose. We must make it a choice daily. Some of us hourly. Some of us every 30 seconds. We must choose to serve. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. So for me to be connected and stay interested, I must wake up on a daily basis and say, Lord, today I choose you. I choose you over everything that would come at me. I choose you over every possibility of walking aside from your plan and purpose because it sounds great in the natural to these awesome ears and it's tingling my ears. I choose you no matter how difficult it is. I choose you no matter how easy it is. I choose you if there's a giant blessing today. I choose you if there's not a giant blessing today. But today, I will choose to serve you all of my days. So I choose to serve God. I choose to be interested. I choose to put him at the forefront. I choose to read my Bible. I choose to pray. I choose to listen to podcasts throughout the week to feed my spirit man. I choose to do the necessary things that are needed to grow in the Lord. I choose to serve. It helps when disinterest and disconnection or being disconnected tries to settle in. Because if we're choosing, when it happens, like, whoa, I didn't choose that. Number two, realize that it's hard work. Staying connected and interested at times is hard work. It's hard work to serve Jesus in today's culture. It's hard work to get up a little bit earlier. It's hard work to come to prayer at 7 a.m. It's hard work to do a multitude of things. But again, it's a choice. So I realize that there's work that's involved in it, so I'm going to put the hard work in. Nothing great happens without hard work. These professional athletes didn't get to where they're at without hard work. But you know what they did? They chose to put the time in. They chose to eat right. They chose to work out. They chose to do the right thing, or maybe they didn't choose to do the right thing, but a lot of them. But they chose to get to where they're at by putting in the hard work. And number three, this, is understand if we're going to be connected, that it's really required for us to stay in the vine. John chapter 15, when you read the whole, the vine and the branches, and for time I can't read it to you today, we need to stay connected to the source. Because when you're connected to the source, it brings you the nutrients that are needed to grow and to move forward. Connected to the source. What's the source? God. Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Connected to the source. Because it's in the source that's the main supply for all that we need. The Bible says in John 15, that he will remain, and when we remain in him, he will remain in us. He's the source. So number one was, let's overcome the ability to become disinterested. Number two is we cannot allow discouragement to settle in. Discouragement. Anyone ever been discouraged before? It's not easy, is it? But we can overcome it when it comes to the things of the Lord. We can overcome it. I'm telling you, we can overcome it. Discouragement, actually, the beginning part of discouragement, the D-I-S, dis, actually means the opposite of. So it's the opposite of courage, the opposite of you know, moving forward, the opposite of pressing on, the opposition of the opposite of being motivated. And so when discouragement settles in, what happens is we become people of lost motivation. We become people that no longer walk and live and move in strength and courage. And so we have to understand, how in the world can we not allow discouragement to settle in? You know, some of the elders in the book of Haggai, they were discouraged. They were discouraged because they were looking at the temple that was being built, but they were thinking of the temple that they knew before. And they were probably saying this: this isn't going to be the same way. It doesn't look the same. So how can God move in that dimension? It doesn't have the same patterns of designs, and the altar's maybe a little bit bigger or smaller. How's that going to work? I just don't think it's going to work. Why are we even doing this? Because I knew what happened in the past, and what happened in the past was amazing, and what I'm seeing in the natural, I'm judging on what God can do or not do. And so I just don't really think that this thing is all that is cracked up to be. Maybe we should, you know, maybe we should just like carry what we started and kind of redo it and do a full pattern the way we feel fit. I could imagine that. I could imagine that. They were trying to compare what God did and used before to what they are a part of now. Because it wasn't lining up, discouragement was setting in because it wasn't lining up to their thoughts and their outlook of how it should be. Let me read you a scripture. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Come on, people. Hear what I just said. All right, SEC folks, let's get nitty gritty here. Let's not look at what Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley did 20 years ago any longer. It's a great move. Healing, salvation, wholeness. That was yesterday's glory. That was yesterday's manna. That was yesterday's anointing. That was yesterday's healing and wholeness. That was yesterday's move of God here at South Towns. Let's stop. Let's not live in that. Let's not. Oh. Please, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley are with us every week in the back. They're right there. We love them. God used them mighty, but God's doing a new thing in 2021. And that glory was awesome. I lay on the floor in that glory. I received that glory. God did amazing things, but I'm going to tell you something right now. God's doing a new thing in 2021, and that was yesterday's glory. That was yesterday's outpouring, because he's got a new outpouring. He's got a new glory that's strong and powerful that'll bring signs, wonders, miracles, healing, salvation, wholeness, encouragement, dreams and visions and plans. And so I don't want to live in the old glory. Because here's what the scripture says in verse 19 of Isaiah 43. I do a new thing. Say new thing. God says, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I do a new thing. If we're disconnected and disinterested, if we're discouraged because it's not the way we think it should be, we're going to miss the new thing. We're going to miss an outpouring. We're going to miss a miracle. We're going to miss. We're going to miss. We cannot allow ourselves to be discouraged. We cannot allow ourselves to look at the past and continue to long to be there. The past is the past. It's great to talk about and reminisce and laugh about. If you don't believe me, go home today and pull out your high school yearbook. Pull it out. Go through it. And if you were a child of the 80s, you will laugh. You will laugh. You will laugh at the clothes, at the hairdos, at the glasses. We see pictures from when this church first started. We laugh. Like, oh my gosh, look at me. I had a full, small afro going. It's like, oh my gosh. It was off to the side. And I was like, oh, we laugh. It's okay. But I don't want to live there. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back. I want to be here and moving forward where God wants to take us. I'm not going to be discouraged. Because the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory. I'm believing that scripture. I'm praying that scripture. I pray that scripture over this church. Lord, your word says that their latter glory, and I know that it talks about also Jesus coming to the temple and then Jesus returning when he comes back and brings peace. I get that, but it also talks about the outpouring of God's presence and spirit. So I pray that, Lord, your word says that the latter glory of the house will be greater than the former. And God, I thank you for the former glory. I thank you for what you did. I honor you for what you did. I celebrate what you did. But God, I don't want that. I want what you have that's new for today. And so what we need to do is what Haggai says is in chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We need to be strong. We need to be strong, and we need to work. We need to push forward. The scripture, he's telling them to work. He says, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you. We need to be strong and courageous. We need to put our hands to the grindstone. We need to put our feet to the ground. We need to put everything that we have moving forward motion, following the Holy Spirit and the leading of God. So discouragement cannot settle in. So discouragement cannot settle in. I love what even Joshua was told. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. When you get discouraged, understand that God is with you. Understand that in him is your strength. It's not your natural strength. We need to be strong in the spirit. When we're strong in the spirit, then God can do a supernatural work in the physical to bring us strong in the physical as well. And so he had to deal with discouragement. He had to deal with people being disinterested in what God was doing. There was that comparison game of discouragement. And then the third thing that we can learn from the book of Haggai. Y'all with me so far? All right. All right. Just want to make sure we're all connected still. And then the third thing is we can no longer be dissatisfied with the progress. We have to learn patience. We have to learn patience. Wait is not a very popular word in 2021. Wait for it. I'll be honest with you. I do not like waiting. I get antsy. I get, I will walk up and down. We will walk up and down looking. My wife directs me because she's like the level-headed one. Let's just go and wait here because we're going to walk four more times up and down looking for the fastest cashier aisle, and we could have been out already. I don't like waiting. I like waiting. I was at a red light yesterday on Elmwood with my wife, and I'm like, come on, what's going on here? And I'm just talking out loud, and she goes, what are you doing? She goes, they're timed. I'm like, whatever. Right? She looks at me and says, what are you doing? I'm like, what? I want to go. I got to get to Elmwood Taco Sub for dinner. I need a chicken taco now. I'm serious. That's why I was in Elmwood. I was out in the state. We were like, we didn't eat all day. I'm like, let's just go get a chicken taco. Because it'll help me preach better tomorrow, too. I told you, I am human. And I am real. And it tasted like manna from heaven when I took the first bite. Just saying. Woo! God's a good God, amen? So we have to learn to wait. We have to, you know, stay strong in the wait. Because when we stay strong in the wait, the Bible says in Psalm 31:24 that he'll strengthen us and he'll strengthen our heart. All you who wait on the Lord, things happen. And so what happened here was they began to do the work again. They were motivated by the words from God through the prophet Haggai. And so they began to do the work again. But then the problem was they became dissatisfied with the progress of where they were at. In other words, what happened was, you know, all the years of inactivity, all the years of things sitting there not really happening, they jump in 3 months or so into it. They're angry and upset because they're not farther ahead and the temple's not done. Well, the reality is, you know, they wanted an instant reversal, but they needed to go through the process of working and waiting for what God was doing step by step. We all understand that, right? So we can't be dissatisfied if we're seeing something happening, but not to the point where we think it should be. You understand that? Like, I think this is just me, but, you know, I'm a believer that we should have lines before service opens, because if you don't get here early enough, you won't get a seat. We're not there yet. But I'm not dissatisfied and angry. I'm praying. And I'm believing on the promise and the words that the Lord had spoken. So I really do. Not just the 10 o'clock service. You know, we talked about even at the 8:30 service, how the 8:30 service is growing and going to grow even bigger. And so I'm not dissatisfied in the sense where it's not there yet. I'm not going to give up and get angry. I'm not going to get disconnected and discouraged. No, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep doing what is needed on my part. And so, you know, let me give you a closer thing before we get ready to wrap this up. Did y'all ever hear of this thing called COVID-19? You did, didn't you? Now, COVID hit about a year and a half ago, really hit, and things started getting locked down, shut down, sideways, backwards, whatever. Well, when COVID began to hit, for me, what happened was I'm a people person. And so, and you know, it was great for us. We were just talking about yesterday. We played board games. We hung out with our kids, our family. It was awesome that way. But I also felt locked up. It plays tricks on your mind and stuff. And you get discouraged and you get, you know, kind of set back. But the bigger thing is when you're not doing anything and you're not out and about and you're just watching Hallmark movies and whatever you're binge watching on Netflix, you got to have snacks. All types of snacks. But the problem is snacks at night and then falling asleep 40 pounds later. I have a point to this story. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of this funk and get working out again. So I start working out in December. And I'm hitting it hard, so hard that I overran and broke my foot on the treadmill. So that's 7 more weeks of being set back. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, so I get a program, I'm eating right, I'm working out, and I get on a scale every day. I know you shouldn't, so don't judge me. Point two, okay, it's okay. Point two. It's not even a half a pound, but it's point two. It's something. So it was about May-ish I started, right? May-ish, April, end of April, beginning of May. And working out, eating right, doing my thing. see some results, you know, about 17 pounds. It's getting there. It's not where I really need to be. If need about another 70, but we'll get there. But I don't get on the scale and get discouraged and say, how come it's not 100 yet? It's only been a month and a half or 2 months. How come it's not, you know, 50 yet? It's only been 4 weeks. I don't let the discouragement settle in because of the year and a half of inactivity. Do you see where I'm going with this? We can do that, even with the things of God. Well, I read one scripture. How come I don't know the whole Bible yet? Because you just started. Don't get dissatisfied with your growth. Don't get dissatisfied with the progress. Don't get dissatisfied. Continue to keep the work in. Continue to keep doing what God's asking you to do, being who God's called you to be. Stay connected and interested. Don't get discouraged because it's not what it used to be. Because God's got a new thing coming. And God's in the midst of doing a new thing even here. If you've been here the past couple months, you see what's happening. Got a text Monday morning from someone from church, says, I could barely move my neck and shoulders. Pastor, you had that altar call last week. I came down, I prayed. By the time I got home, I was moving it. By Monday morning, it was even better. And throughout the week, it got better. That's God doing something. Amen? So they were dissatisfied because they weren't where they thought they should be. As long as we're moving forward and not backwards, that's what's key. No, you may not be able to name all the books of the Bible because it gets all crazy in the minor prophets. No, you may not be able to quote 100 scriptures. Probably neither can I. My brain doesn't work that way. I can tell you what they mean, kind of where they're at, but to, you know, pull something out of the book of Daniel, you know, be like, you know, some obscure scripture, it's not me. I don't get discouraged. I just go back and reread it again. That's all we got to do. We got to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. This is how we stay connected. This is how we stay with not being discouraged. This is how we stay, you know, with the ability not being dissatisfied. Let me encourage you to be persistent. Christian, you can come up. We're going to wrap this up. Let me give you two scriptures to help you as we get ready to pray, to learn to be persistent in God's endeavors and ushering in that anointing and that glory. The first one comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. We shall reap if we do not give up. Do not grow weary. Do not get discouraged. Do not get dismayed. For in due season, the hand of God will open up whatever he needs to open up, and the reaping shall come. The glory shall come. The outpouring shall come. In due season, our responsibility is not to grow weary. Our responsibility is to stay connected to the vine. Our responsibility is to not get discouraged because we're not seeing what we think should be happening because of what happened yesterday. God's doing a new thing. The second scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We do not work for the Lord in vain. Stay steadfast. Moving forward. We all face these. We can stand to our feet. I can't close that because I have announcements. We all face these issues. Becoming disinterested and disconnected. Becoming discouraged and being dissatisfied. But we all have a choice on how to overcome those. We all have a choice to stay connected. We all have a choice to not believe or fall for the belief of what was yesterday is better than what, because God's doing a new thing. We all have a choice to not play the comparison game and not get upset when we're working at it and it's not happening yet. We must persevere. We must be a people that are tenacious. We must be a people that are willing to go for it. But some of us struggle, and that's what I'm going to pray for today. You've been in a rut. There's been a disconnect. Like I said, when you leave here, that was yesterday. You're new today. You're new today. And you're free. Because if Jesus sets you free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We don't have to be shackled to discouragement. We don't have to be shackled to being dissatisfied. We don't have to be shackled to those things any longer. Today is your day of freedom. So let me pray for you. Let me ask this question first. Has anything I talked to resonated with anybody here? Okay. I just want to make sure. Because I just thought I was preaching to myself. I just want to make sure I wasn't preaching to myself. So let's pray. It's a choice. Father, we come to you, Jesus. We come to you looking for help. Lord, at some point in our walk, or even right now, we are in the midst of being disconnected. We are in the midst of being discouraged, or we might even be in the midst of being dissatisfied of where we are at. Or whatever one of those areas that we may fall in, or maybe we fall in two, or maybe we fall in all three of them. Whatever it may be, Lord, we come to you today for the solution, for help to overcome what we're facing. Lord, I pray that we understand the importance of choosing to serve you, to be connected to you, to live every day for you, sold out and committed. Lord, help us to be strong. Help us to have the ability to make those choices that are needed, understanding the importance of being connected to the vine. Lord, for those who suffer and who are going through a time where they're just discouraged because they know what your promise said, they know what took place in the past, but it's not what they're seeing now. And they may be playing the comparison game or whatever it may be, God. Lord, I break that mindset, that attitude in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you begin to show them what your scripture says in Isaiah, that you do a new thing, and that today is a new thing, and you're doing a new thing not only in their lives, but also in the lives of in the life of this church. And Father, for those who struggle from being dissatisfied from the progress that's being made, Lord, I pray right now in your name, Jesus, that you help us understand that it's a process and that the process involves work. It involves us being strong and courageous, and that everything that we do, Lord, isn't done in vain for you. There's purpose and meaning behind it. Lord, let us see the small steps and the small victories, not just focus in on the big one. But let us see the progress as we grow and move forward each and every day. Lord, whatever we may be struggling with today that are connected to those three areas, Lord, you did a great work with those exiles. Father, I'm believing for a great work here today. Move amongst your people. Father, move with a mighty wind this day. Let those dry and brittle dead bones arise this day. Let passion be brought back this day. Ignite passion and excitement for you, O God, this day. Holy Spirit, come and sweep over your people. Sweep over your people, O God. Sweep over your people. as Ezekiel called it in. We call on the wind of the Holy Spirit from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Oh, blow, wind of God. Blow, wind of God, over your people this day. Bring what is needed. Burn off what is not needed. I declare advancement in Jesus' name. I declare spiritual growth in Jesus' name. I declare that we get a better understanding of kingdom authority over the enemy in Jesus' name. For you do a new thing, and we embrace it this day. Let the glory cloud come. Let it dwell and take residency within us, within our church, within our nation. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. Myself and Pastor Rob will be here to pray with you after service for anything that you may need prayer for. Pray for our worship pastor. He has a great opportunity. Orlando. He's going to Tampa to teach and lead and minister next weekend. And so if you don't see him here, he's ministering, doing the work of the kingdom in sunny Florida. Man, I'm jealous. So keep him up in your prayers this week, because the enemy doesn't want more victory by the kingdom, right? So, quick announcements this morning. One, all the men in the house, I need your attention. We do a lot of great women's things here at SCC, from small groups to conferences to different things. And we're beginning to do great things with our men. And men, I want to encourage you to come on out on Wednesday, July 28th, to Chestnut Ridge. It's just a men's barbecue. It's a time to connect. It's a time to make friends. It's a time to really get connected with our men's ministry. Our men's leader will be at a table in the atrium after service. He can answer any questions that you may have. It's $8 for food. And so if you have a teenage boy, I encourage you to bring him. We need to start showing our young boys and girls what godly men and women look like. And not just verbally, but just actually show them. And if you have teenagers, if you have a teenager boy and you need a sponsor or a man to step in to help out, let us know. We will help out. We will help out with that as well. It's important. And so mark your calendars for the 28th. And then the last thing is mark your calendar for August 15th. That is our church picnic. Sunday, August 15th, and I keep telling you to mark it because we're having church there. So if you show up here on the 15th, Jesus didn't come, just so you know. We're in North Evans at the Fireman's Park having church. So we're going to have a sign-up sheet soon. My wife and I are working on activities throughout the day. So come to church, stay for the picnic, and have a great day. It'll be a lot of fun. And so mark it down. We're going to provide all the hot dogs and the water and stuff, and you just provide your side dish. And if you want to share with people, that's up to you. But come be a part of what we're doing on that day. It's our first one, I think. We're having an outdoor service. So everything's taking place at one service, 10 a.m., this 15th. So let's take our offering, and I'll dismiss you guys. Have a great day. Thanks for being here. Hold on to that word today. Because God said he's doing a what? New thing. And we want the former glory or the latter glory? We want the latter glory. Amen. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity to sow our tithes and offerings, our seed back into the kingdom. God of provision, we bless you this morning. And we come joyfully before you and thanking you for this opportunity We thank you, Jesus, that we get to worship you. We get to honor you through our giving. Bless it. Multiply it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Be praying for you guys throughout the week. We'll see you Sunday. And if you need prayer, Pastor Rob and I will be here to pray with you. God bless.